Our podcast will begin in just a moment. InvestTalk distribution made possible by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP has been serving people all across the U.S. for more than 20 years, promising no less than their very best attention and commitment to making sure each of their clients has access to the answers they need, always being accessible. Their focus is on managing risk while always looking for opportunities. Since their own money is invested right alongside their clients, their focus is on results. To see about their targeted investment programs, when you're ready, just click on the Investments tab on InvestTalk.com. End of commercial, and now today's InvestTalk.
You're listening to an encore presentation of InvestTalk. Please call with your questions and comments, though, 888-99-CHART, 888-99-CHART, and Steve will answer them on the next InvestTalk.
Good afternoon, everybody, and thanks for being with us on this Monday edition of InvestTalk. And this show is about above-average investing for the average investor. InvestTalk can be a sounding board, if you want, for your ideas. We also try to bring some ideas of our own, and we always go over some principles, how to invest, how to make good, sound decisions. Today, a great rotation. Could it push stocks higher? Do you know what I'm talking about? After recent events, investors are wondering whether the bond rally is really over. And there are signs, but there is no certainty. And that's going to be one of our main talking points today. Now, let's open the discussion to include you. We want to talk to you. As always, we're up for any money questions. Let's begin with the Q&A portion of the program. Let's talk to Santa in San Diego. How are you doing, Santa?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
Good. Thanks for calling. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. But thank you for having me on your show. But I wanted to ask you about children. Let's say I have my 18-year-old daughter. She's very ambitious, and she saved some money and all that. And we went to open an account at the bank, and I wanted to see what your opinion is on, like, to make the best. I know it's very little interest or little profit they can make out of their little income, but just the beginning, what would be the best route to take?
Okay, well, she's so young. Did she have any earnings last year or this year? Did she work?
This year.
Okay,
yes.
So are you going to open up an IRA for her? Is that what you were thinking?
Well, I don't know, to be honest. We just opened a little checking account in the bank and applied for a credit card.
Okay, so the money that you put in the market, Sana, is money that you don't plan on really touching for a long time. So
That's fine.
So if she's doing that, then she should put it in like any kind of account, a discount account, like E-Trade or Scott Trade, those kind of accounts. Open up an account in her name, and then she could buy something like the S&P 500, which is you can buy all 500 companies with one position called the SPY. It's an ETF, and you can buy it and just hold it, and she can ride the market in that. And you can do that with very little money and very little cost.
Okay, so you do trust the Scott Trade because we have an office right next to where I work.
Yes, they're SIPC insured, SIPC insured, up to $500,000. So, yeah, she will never have to worry. They're the custodian. She'll never have to worry about her money, someone trying to steal it.
All right.
Let me tell you who steal money is. People that manage other people's money that they do not have SIPC insured. So never, ever give your money to somebody who's not SIPC insured.
SIPC. Sounds great. Thank you so much.
Thanks for the call, Sana. Thank you very much.
All right, have a good day.
Let's go to Paul in San Francisco. How you doing, Paul?
I'm great, Steve. My question, I'm approaching the second half of my 40s.
Okay.
And I work for a private company with a 401k. So, you know, realizing that I need to kind of get off my duff and really start getting serious about my 401k and investing, I'm dumping a lot of money into it, you know, 20% of my paycheck.
Okay, good for you.
Yeah, you know, I'm not a financial manager. I do other work, you know, and I think I know what I'm investing in. My question, I guess, is should I seek out financial advisor to kind of look over what my options are in my 401k and say, you know, hey, this is good, this is not good?
The answer is yes, and that financial advisor would be me and Justin,
okay.
And we'll do it for free, Paul, free.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. We do it for a lot of the 401k. If you will send me an email telling me what choices you have in your mutual funds, I'm assuming you have a limited number of choices, right?
Right.
Okay, tell me what choices you have and what you invested and how much in each of those right now. You're usually going to attach a statement to an email to me.
Right.
And then I will respond telling you what you should do. And if you do that every 3 months or so, we will help you adjust it based on what's going on in the economy.
Outstanding.
That
Appreciate
will help
it.
You a lot. And just so you know that I do this for free for everybody, but I do have an alternative motive. Maybe you're going to quit that company and go to another company 10 years from now, and then you can roll that into an IRA and you want me to manage it because I've been helping you for 10 years.
Right.
See,
gotcha.
So I don't want you to think I'm just a nice guy. I am a nice guy, but that's not, I do have a motive down there. I don't want someone, Paul, to call me up and say, you're really doing this for your own reasons. Well, I want to help people, but yeah, I have my own reasons too.
Yeah. We're in business for a reason.
Yeah.
Okay. Sounds
Thanks,
great,
Paul.
Steve.
Let's go to Gary in San Jose. How you doing, Gary?
Well, I have a question on gold reserves of foreign countries that are in sovereign debt.
Okay.
And if they start selling their gold to get out of their debt, what would that do to the market of gold?
Well, of course, it depends on how big their gold reserve is, Gary. I mean, if it's huge, it would definitely put a huge downward pressure on the gold price. But most likely, if you're talking about a normal country or average-sized country, it won't probably do much to the gold price. It probably won't, because what they'll do, Gary, is they'll hide the fact that they're selling it. You won't know until after the fact, because they also hide the fact that they're buying it. You know, China does, India does, everybody does.
I've never heard anyone talk about the sovereign debt in relationship to their gold reserves.
Yeah, most of the time because they hold on to the gold reserves because it's worth something. They usually don't talk about it because they don't usually sell it. And if they did, it would be a function of their Federal Reserve, whatever they would call theirs in their country. And that would be a secret kind of behind-the-scenes thing going on to gather some money. Then they would announce it to us, and we would even never know about it.
I listen to your show every day.
Well, I appreciate that, Gary. Thanks for the call. I really do. Appreciate it. Thank you.
And keep up the good work.
Thank you. A great rotation. Great rotation. What are we talking about? Could the great rotation push stocks higher? Now, after recent events, investors are wondering whether the bond rally is really over. We have 30-year bond rally, 30-plus years of a bond rally. Is it really over? Now, we've been talking about it for several years, and I've been wrong about it being the end of the low PE, low bond valuations because the Fed hasn't raised rates like they said they were going to, but they didn't. So that's going to be one of our main talking points today. Also, have you seen the restaurant traffic report? There's reports always come out about restaurants and how they're doing. I think we need to talk about that because it's the first decline in 5 years. Does it mean anything? Think about that for a minute. Why would it mean anything for, I'm talking about, does it mean anything for the economy? And tricks retailers use to make you spend more money. You probably know a lot of the tricks, but I'm going to go over some more that you may not know. Finally, in Asia, the state becomes a major company stakeholder. Talk about Japan and China. How much of the stocks do you think they have bought in the last few years of their companies in their economy? And think about that a little deeper. If they've been buying, what has it done to the prices? That's what I want to talk about today. Of course, I'll talk about anything you want to talk about, but, you come first, but I find these things interesting. Now, I set aside time each month to talk with our listeners on a one-to-one basis, offering a second opinion about their retirement portfolios, offering some ideas and solutions. It can be done on Skype or telephone. If you'd like to reserve your hour to look over your documents or talk to me about our programs or what we do, just go to investtalk.com, investtalk.com, and click on the Invest Talk tab, then Portfolio Review.
Yeah. You're listening to an encore presentation of Invest Talk. Please call with your questions and comments, though, 888-99-CHART, 888-99-CHART, and Steve will answer them on the next Invest Talk.
Hi, Steve and Justin. This is Jake from Pennsylvania. I'm calling because I'm wondering if either of you would know a good site, preferably free, that one could go to get earnings forecasts for the upcoming year. I think the information for the past year's earnings is pretty easily identifiable, but I noticed that some of the sites have GAAP earnings and some websites report non-GAAP earnings. And I'm just wondering, a lot of the forecasts that I see seem to be using non-GAAP earnings forecasts. I'm just wondering if there's a place to get something that might be a little bit more reliable using GAAP earnings. Any help you could provide would be appreciated, and I'll be listening on the podcast. Thank you.
When he's talking about GAAP, he's talking about general accounting principles, and all corporations are supposed to report GAAP earnings, but they also have the permission, they have permission to report non-GAAP earnings as long as they make it clear that it's here's the GAAP earnings and here's the non-GAAP. And they've been getting in trouble with the non-GAAP reporting, because they're not supposed to give it extra stress or importance, and of course they have been. So the SEC is coming after a number of companies. But he's asking, where can I find those non-GAAP earnings for free on the web, and is it somewhere I can go? Well, I'll tell you this: it's not easy when it's free, because people like me buy this information. They buy it. So they don't want to just give it to free. That doesn't mean it doesn't exist. It just means that it doesn't exist probably in the quality you're looking for or in the format you would make it easier for you to deduce. But I like certain websites. FinViz, I told you about that one. I also like MarketWatch. I like Yahoo Finance. And I do like Morningstar. So those are good websites that give you the information you probably want, but it's going to be difficult to ferret it out. And everybody reports it differently. It's one of the problems, you know. Everybody has their own ideas of estimates. How good are they? It's always a question mark. Always. And they're always wrong. It's a guess. That's it. So that's how it works. Sorry, I wish it was easier. It just isn't. Investment Focus, is the great rotation happening? That means, is money rotating out of a 30-year bond rally we've been having into stocks? And in recent, there's been some, the reason why this is important is that's because it's a ton of money that could be very supportive of stock prices over the next few years. Now, there are some evidence. According to Bank of America, the week to November 16th saw the biggest equity inflows in 2 years, $28 billion, and the biggest bond outflow in 3.5 years at $18 billion. That's the widest weekly disparity between stock and bond flows ever. So they think that that might be starting. We might be seeing. Why? Because we're starting to see some hints of inflation coming in. We know the Fed wants to raise rates, and if we have more inflation, you know, they want some inflation, but as long as it doesn't get out of control, it's not going to stop them from raising rates. So if you have more inflation, long as it's within reason, they'll still raise rates. The idea, and they see the economy getting stronger. They see people being more fully employed than they have. And this all brings out a little bit more pressure for the Fed to raise rates. So, of course, they have a meeting in December, and they expect the rate to be increased by then. But they look further out than that. They're looking out to 2017 and saying, when I say they, I'm talking about investors and professional investors as well as retail investors. They're seeing probably a rate increase or two or three next year. And that means that the bonds, when interest rates go up, underperform. They go down in value. So where's that money going to go when they get out of a bond? This is Invest Talk. Remember, not all stocks and bonds, everybody. Any money questions is on the table. 888-99-CHART is our number. It's open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We call it the listener line.
Here
Here's another benefit when you sign up for our InvestTalk Insider program, a brief list of real estate investment trusts, REITs, that should be on investors' radar if they're looking for exposure to this dividend-focused sector. You can sign up for this free InvestTalk Insider program on investtalk.com.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Invest Talk. Please call with your questions and comments, though, 888-99-CHART, 888-99-CHART, and Steve will answer them on the next Invest Talk.
Okay, let's go to Jerry in Pittsburgh. Hi, Jerry.
What I'd like to ask is your philosophy on managing a 401k account.
Okay.
That all your choices are either mutual funds, index funds, or bonds.
Right.
How to best manage?
Good question. For all you 401k people out there, you are in charge of running your own money, and you probably need some help. One of the things I would suggest right now is stay away from the bond funds in those 401ks. That means no bond funds, and that means no mixed funds or no balanced funds if they have bonds. Most balanced funds are stocks and bonds. If interest rates are going to rise, your bond fund portion of your portfolio will suffer. Yes, you'll get a nice dividend of 3, 4%, whatever it is, 5%, I don't know. The net asset value may go down 5, 10, 15%. What good is the 3 and 4% of the whole thing? When the interest rates are rising, that's where you stay away from bonds. You should probably gravitate, if in your 401k, over to more of the mid-cap value, small-cap value, large-cap value. The value side of the market versus the growth side is where I would be more comfortable in, if you have those choices. And don't hesitate to have a little bit in international.
Okay.
Okay?
Thanks a lot.
Let's go to David in Chula Vista. How you doing, David?
I'm doing great. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I got a question about a local company, the ServiceNow, that's going to be going public soon.
Uh-huh.
I like what the company does. Haven't got a chance to dive into fundamentals yet. But how long would you generally wait before starting to get involved with something like this?
If a company comes out IPO, trying to buy it on the first day is very, very difficult, Dave. Because, you know, that many times if the IPO market's hot, it comes out, they say, well, it's going to be $14 a share. And the first trade is $18. You know? Oh, well, wait a minute.
Yeah.
You and I can't get it at 14. You know, and we're buying it from the people who got it at 14. They're selling to us at 18. They've already made a huge profit and they're out. So
yeah, and then I'm stuck with it at a high point.
Exactly. So that's why I tell people stay away from it. Usually wait till 6 months. And this is why, David. After 6 months, the insiders are now allowed to sell some shares. They are precluded from doing that for about 6 months. In other words, they have to hold on. The insiders have to hold on to the shares for about 6 months.
Oh, okay.
So what you see after about 6 months, generally speaking, starting a little bit before 6 months, is the stock starts trading down back close to its IPO price very often. Very often.
Okay, that makes sense. I'll sit tight and then take a look then.
Yeah, just keep watching. Thanks, David. I appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
Do you have questions about FDIC security, mortgages, money market funds, losses to your retirement plans? Give us a call today, 888-99-CHART.
Let's go to Margaret in San Francisco. How are you doing, Margaret?
Hi. I wanted to know about ETFs. I heard that they are better than mutual fund, except for the mineral one. And I don't know how to critique them or find out the best ones because I'm holding very, very old mutual funds and a lot of stocks that many are stable, but they're not making me any money because I paid so much money back in 99.
Ah, okay, the difference between ETFs and mutual funds, this is the basic difference. ETFs usually follows a slice of the market. It could follow the S&P 500. It can follow oil companies. It can follow any kind of slice of the market. But their ETFs, Margaret, are not managed by a manager like a mutual fund is. They're dumb. They just follow an index. They follow an industry. You know, they don't trade and they just hold it. You have to know when to get in and out of that ETF. That's the main difference between an ETF and a mutual fund. Mutual fund is the manager. He's supposed to be picking stocks and selling them and do the right things. That's the difference. I like ETFs. They act like stocks. You can buy and sell them like stocks, and you get instant diversification, but you still need to know what you're buying and when to get in, when to get out. Margaret, thanks for the call. Alex in San Diego, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Thank you for taking my call.
Well, you know what? I love it when you call, so it's you. I just answer the questions.
Well, my question is, I'm just breaking into the stock market, and I'm looking for something to be able to read about it, and where would be a good place to go get information?
Okay, great. Okay, there's several places I'm going to talk about first, and of course, I hope you like reading.
I do.
Okay, good. For a good resource, in other words, you're come across something, I wonder what that means, go to investopedia.com, investopedia, investopedia.com.
Okay.
Investopedia, that's a great place. You can type in terms and stuff and find out, and they have lessons from beginner to advanced. It's a pretty good website for that. And I have no tie to that website, but I use it, because I like it. If you're just getting started, I would suggest you read the book. It's a very easy book to read, Beating the Street by Peter Lynch. It's been out for a number of years. Peter Lynch is one of the best investors out there. He's a mutual fund guy for Vanguard for years and years. He retired. It's very easy to read. It gives you a nice overview. It's only a couple of 100 pages, and you're done, and you have a good idea how stocks work. What makes it go up? What makes it go down? When you get more advanced, I have a lot more advanced books to give you. But if you're just starting out, reading a couple of Peter Lynch's books are good. There's others that are very, very good. Another book that's not in print that I really liked and enjoyed years ago was a book called 1,000 Miles from Wall Street by Tony Gray. I don't know if that's around. You probably get it at a library, but I don't know if you can get it in print anymore. But if you can, I would suggest that. Now, there's a book list on our website, so when you get those under your belt, you just move on to more and more books.
Okay, and then investopedia.com, that would be the place to go on the web.
Yeah, for learning about investing, yes.
Okay, very
good. It's a really good site, really. Take a look at it. If you don't like it, I'll give you some more.
Okay.
Thanks, Alex.
Okay, thank you.
We're open to your money questions and comments, 888-99-CHART. That's how you can get through right now. I'm Financial Advisor Steve Peasley, and this is Invest Talk.
We thank you for subscribing to our podcast. Have you done your homework? There's much to learn, and thankfully there are many sources of knowledge. Visit our recommended book section on investtalk.com. Read about the books that maybe you should be reading. And some great gift ideas are there, too.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Invest Talk. Please call with your questions and comments, though, 888-99-CHART, 888-99-CHART, and Steve will answer them on the next Invest Talk.
888-992-4278. Okay, restaurant traffic has declined for the first time in 5 years. It fell 1% in Q3, third quarter of this year, fell 1%. For 5 years in a row, every quarter has gone up 1%. And so it's gone up consistently, okay, for 5 years. Now it's not. Why? See, one of the things that I kind of watch restaurant traffic. I kind of watch what happens there because I want to see if the consumer is spending. I'm looking for spending by the consumer. Okay, and that's one way you can watch. You can watch retail sales, food, entertainment. What are they spending? And that would kind of tell you if they're going to support the economy or if they're starting to worry about the economy. So I kind of want to know a little bit more. And what this is, it has nothing to do with the economy. It has everything to do with costs. The costs are going out to restaurants versus the cost of dining home. And food prices have fallen sharply, so the cost of dining home has fallen a lot more than the gap between eating at home is a lot higher than it used to be than eating at restaurants. Restaurants have been increasing their cost. Groceries are down 2.4% year over year. Restaurants aren't down. Cost of eating out is increasing. So it's just a matter of people changing their habits, and it might have something to do with people wanting to eat healthier and they're thinking they'll fix the food at home and they can eat healthier at home, that kind of thinking. But it doesn't look like it has anything to do with the economy. which means we don't have to worry about that part or that something bad was happening there. I do have an email question that came in from Frank. You do not recommend market orders, so where do you place limit orders when buying or selling stocks? Do you use a percentage of the last day closing or the market price current? Well, what we do is we use 1 and 5 minute charts. If we want to buy a stock or sell a stock during the day, we look at very short term charts and look for and we don't do any trade in the first hour, maybe two, and we try to get a pattern of what's happening and up and down of a stock, and we try to buy. If we're going to buy it, we want to buy it on the dips. If we want to sell it, we want to sell it on the peaks. That's how we do it. It might be more difficult for you, but you have to use your own method. Remember, we don't like to put in a market order. What does that mean? That means you go and say, I want to buy this stock at whatever price it is right now. That's a market order. And, of course, you're going to get what we call a bad fill. They're going to give you the highest price of it right now. Someone else is going to make the few pennies that... we'd like you to put in a limit order, which means I want to buy this stock at $22.86, a specific number. Okay, and that's what you buy or sell the stock at. I just think it's smart. Let's get your voice in on the program for all of your money questions. 888-99-CHARP is our number. You'll hear questions about stocks, 401ks, funding your kids' college education. We're open to any questions, any retirement planning, anything like that. 888-99-CHARP or 888-992-4278.
A person's risk tolerance varies with age, income, financial goals, and life situation. So how do you know how much risk you can or should tolerate? The level you can stand to be able to sleep at night? You really need to answer some tough questions, but we can make the process easier and painless with our award-winning risk analysis tool. It's there, ready when you are. Just go to investtalk.com and click on the InvestTalk tab.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Let's talk to Jay in Dublin. How you doing, Jay?
I'm fine, thank you, Steve. Steve, I had a general question. On Yahoo Finance, usually they show the enterprise value and the market cap of a company, and I've seen in many cases the enterprise value is much less than the market cap. Does it mean that the company is undervalued? Thank you.
Okay. Not necessarily. You have to look at more. You got to look at all the fundamentals. You can't look at just one piece or a couple of pieces of the fundamentals and say, okay, then this stock is undervalued. That's one of the things we're going to talk about in our webinar tomorrow, how to recognize something that's undervalued. And how you don't just use price to sales, price to earnings. There's other things. For instance, debt could have a huge impact on whether a company is undervalued or overvalued, how much debt they're carrying. So there's a number of indicators. You know, I'm on the show, I use something that's pretty simple. By talking about the 5-year PE range and what is the normal range it should be and what's the normal range of the market. And then I'll talk, occasionally about the, but you don't hear me get into really in depth because I can't. Like, what's the margins? What kind of profit margin? Are they shrinking or are they growing? A lot of times you're looking for direction, too, of the fundamentals. Are they doing better or doing worse? We don't get into, a lot of other things like how's the management doing? Is it good management? What is the competition doing for this company? Because I can't do it on the radio. I don't have enough time. So there's too many of those things to really go over the radio. So don't think just because I give you a snapshot of some of the information that's all that you need to know. No, that's not. But it is a good starting point, really is. So, Jay, no, you got to do a little bit more work. Sorry. good try, though.
Do you have questions about FDIC security, mortgages, money market funds, losses to your retirement plans? Give us a call today, 888-99-CHART.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So I was reading the Wall Street Journal today, as I tend to do. I read several newspapers because I like to. And an article struck me in section, I think it was section B. I don't think it was on A. It was on the front page. I don't think so. Might have been. I don't remember. Anyways, Asia, the state becomes major company stockholders. And they're specifically talking about Japan and China. About 30% of all companies in Japan, okay, 30%, are owned by Japan's three main equity indexes. Now count the central bank as their top 10 shareholders. Let me go over that again. 30% of the main indexes in Japan, 30%, is owned by the central bank of Japan. They are the top, one of the top 10 shareholders of 30% of all those banks. 6 years ago, they weren't even there. China, it's 39% in China. And that doesn't count everything, because a lot of times the army owns stocks or the military owns something. They're just talking about the central bank in China. It's 39%. Now, why is this important? And this is all relatively new for both Japan and China. Relative meaning in the last, you know, 10 years or so, 5, 10 years. They're artificially propping up stock prices. This is the problem. What if they stop? What if they need to sell? What if they want to sell? What if they stop buying? And why are they doing it? Because they don't want the stock prices to fall. Notice how China's stock market has calmed down. Remember a couple of years ago how wild it was? Now all of a sudden you don't hear about the big huge swings in China. Why? Because the Chinese come in when the market goes down too much, they start buying. When it goes up too fast, they start selling. They're controlling the volatility. Japan's doing the same kind of thing. The danger here is that they're buying more and more and more of the company's stocks. The government is. Therefore, it's not a free market society anymore. And don't think it's just China. Japan's just right behind them. So don't think it's just China and you want to think, well, China doesn't know what they're doing or they've always been manipulating. Well, everybody does. Maybe not here in the United States in the stock prices, but certainly we manipulate interest rates. I mean, there's manipulation. This is why you have to be aware of how these things are being done and why they're being done. Japan and China are trying to reduce volatility, trying to keep the prices high, to keep the wealth going. Can't do that forever. There is a stopping point somewhere. I can't tell you where it is, when it is. No one knows that. But you can't do it forever. You can try. But all you're doing is making it worse and worse and worse when it starts to unravel on you. Don't save your questions, everybody. If you have a question that is about the basics, we're here for you. I love to talk about the basics. Whether you're an experienced investor or beginner, 888-99-CHART.
I work for Chubb Insurance Group, and they offer a deferred compensation plan, which is kind of like a 401k. Money comes out pre-tax. It grows tax-free, and then you can pull it out whenever you want in the future. The only con that I can find is that if the company goes bankrupt, your money is not secure. Creditors can come after it. So I was wondering from that standpoint if you feel like this is a good idea to contribute some money to, as well as your 401k if you're already maxing that out. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
The simple answer would be yes, as long as it's a big company. And Chubb, and probably a lot of people never heard of Chubb, but Chubb is a very large company. So the answer would be yes. I like deferred benefits plans. And there's always that danger that with the company goes under. So you don't you know, you make sure it's a big company that's fairly secure, which Chubb is. If it was a smaller company, not secure, I wouldn't feel so comfortable doing it. I would not. But, you know, even big companies, even big secure companies can have problems. We know that. We saw that in the financial crisis. So, and you're talking about deferred benefits plan. You're talking about many years deferred. So it could be an issue for you. It's down the road. It's hard to know. But I think it's a good way to put away money tax-free over and above your 401k. I do. It's time for Invest Talk 101, a lesson in everyday investing. Let's quiz you. How about a quiz? Okay, being a watchful investor includes observing trends in the economy and industries and the market. But when can the trend lead you astray? Okay, so watching a trend could be very beneficial. Trends in the economy, the stocks, industries. But when can the trend be a problem for you as an investor? What's the answer? Well, when you follow it, when you see something already happening and it's happening and the trend has been in place for a while and then you see it for the first time, you're the last one on board. Remember, institutional managers have been more the one that usually gets in on the trend pretty fast. And remember that every time you buy a stock, someone else is selling. My question to you as a buyer of a stock that's already run up, who's selling it to you? They're telling you that it's going to go down because else they would hold on to it. You're telling them it's going to go up because that's why you're buying. It's already gone up and you think it's going to go up higher. Now, it could happen. I'm not saying it won't. But I think, you know, you really have to be careful after following a stock that's run up for quite some time. It's usually too late. If you have noticed in your buying that every time you buy, the stock goes down, that means you're trying to catch the trend. You're buying at the top. If you've noticed that, more often than not, that's what happens. Then you have to change the way you think. The stock market is great for catching those people on the wrong side of the market. Really good about that. So don't chase trends. Now, at the same time, there's an old saying the trend is your friend, meaning you should stick with the trend, but don't buy one that's been in place for a while. This is like not buying the stocks that are on the top 10 list. These were the top 10 winners last year in the market, and then go buy those stocks this year. Almost all the time, they are not even close to being even in the middle of the pack the year after. That's very common. Be very, very careful. That's Invest Talk 101. So it's time we heard your voice on Invest Talk. 888-99-CHARGE is how you reach us, and you can reach us right now. 888-992-4278. Now I'm going to talk about the retailers.
One of the ways we serve our listeners is individual portfolio checkups. Steve meets with a limited number of listeners at KPP offices in Northern and Southern California. And if you're a podcast listener and you don't live in those areas, there are ways you can avail yourself of this service too. Just call 888-99-CHART and find out more about it.
99 chart 888-992-4278. So we're going to talk about the tricks retailers use to make you spend more money. I used to, when I was in college, I worked at a grocery store working my way through college. And I learned some of the tricks way back then, what they did to try to get people to buy more things, spend money. Impulse buy is big in the grocery business. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that when we come right back. You're listening to InvestTalk. We've got another segment left. It will make time for your call if you call right now. 888-99-CHART is our anytime listener line. We're here for you.
You're You're listening to an encore presentation of Invest Talk. Please call with your questions and comments, though, 888-99-CHART, 888-99-CHART, and Steve will answer them on the next Invest Talk.
Hey, guys, this is Scott in Denver. I have a couple questions for you. First of all, I've heard on a lot of our podcasts that you guys seem to talk about leverage a lot. If a company is leveraged and how that's going to impact them when interest rates rise. Could you put a little bit more detail or color around how you determine if a company is leveraged or not, or to what degree they're leveraged? Also, for the second question, for us podcasters that are not in the California area, is there a way that we can get access to your monthly meetings that you have there at the hotel in California?
Well, we are going to have our webinar tomorrow, which is a condensed version of our conferences we had last month. So, yeah, that's if you become an InvestTalk Insider, which is free, you just sign up, then you can get access to our webinars, which usually follow about a month or so after the conferences. And they're the same topics, but they're shorter. So that's the only way you can get that benefit if you're not in California and you can't make it. Okay, what was the first question? Because I got carried away with the second question. Leverage. Leverage, if you can think in terms, whenever we talk about leverage, it's really about leverage for a company. Talk about a stock company. It's really about, leverage is really about how much money it borrows. It uses that money to do something with the company. Some of them use it to pay dividends. Some use it to grow the company and build a new factory. Some just use it to just have it on their cash right now with the interest rate so low so they can use it down the road for future, maybe buying a new company. But leverage is all about how much debt they're using, they're carrying, that they're going to use or they've been using the money. And when you have that debt, eventually you got to pay it. That's one of the things you have to do. The debt doesn't just go away. You got to pay that off. So when you're seeing a company that's over leveraged, when you say something, when we say something like, "Well, that company is over leveraged," that means they really can't pay for what they've done. They're not making enough money, or you know, it'd take a very small amount of money a very small reduction in their earnings to be able not to pay the bills. Because if they have too much leverage, too much debt. So that's what we're talking about. And at the same time, debt is not bad. Don't think debt is always bad. It's not. It's how they use it. Banks are always in debt because they borrow money to make money. They borrow it at a cheap rate and lend it out at a higher rate. So, it depends on the industry. Tech companies should never have debt. They're supposed to be growth kind of companies. But when you become big blue chip stocks, well, then they can have debt. And that's what the leverage is. That's leverage. Borrowing. Leverage. Good question, though.
Here are the directions for reaching Steve this afternoon with your question. Just call 888-99-CHART, C-H-A-R-T. Have a question about how best to get into the market? Or maybe you're feeling unsure about your current investments. That's what this is all about. This is Invest Talk.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Okay, what kind of tricks do the stores and retailers use to try to get you to spend money? One of the easiest ways, see, they want to get you in the door. So, of course, one of them is to give you a huge discount on something to get you in the door. Because once you start spending and once you're in the store, they're hoping to hold on to you and you will spend a little bit more. And it's pretty much true. Have you noticed a lot of stores now treat you like an old friend? They're just bend over backwards. They're just so friendly to you and it's a technique to keep you want to buy something from your friend. So that's one another way. They also, of course, the old tried and true is, it's $9.99. It's not $10. It's $9.99. That's an ancient method and it still works today. Also, have you noticed also a lot of you go into a store, gadget store, computer store, or clothing store, whatever, and they're going to solve your problem. Oh, you're hard to fit? We can do that. We can solve that problem for you. Oh, you need this? We can solve problems. We are a problem solver. Let us be your best friend, and we'll solve all your problems. And, of course, free shipping. In the grocery store, what I noticed and what they used to do, I didn't notice it, but this was a technique, they always put impulse buys right by the check stand. That's why those candy bars are there. Those magazines are there. Those are impulse buys. Get you to buy that last thing. Throw it on the counter. Our time is up for the hour. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. And for Justin Klein, everybody at KPP, thank you for listening today. And, of course, we'll be here tomorrow. So join us then again if you can.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.